You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah. Coming up, a new report from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel finds that Russian efforts to inflame racial tensions included the Milwaukee area after the Sherman Park riots in the city 2 years ago. Now there are bipartisan calls for a federal investigation. We talked to one of the reporters who uncovered that story. First, throughout the United States, between 40 and 50 million people carry some amount of student loan debt. Nationwide, that comes to more than $1.4 trillion. This growing debt has had some experts worried for a while. Some worried that there's a looming loan default crisis on the horizon. Others argue that our economy might be slowed down as people spend more money on debt than on goods and services. Our next guest co-wrote a new study that outlines a unique way to deal with all the student loan debt in the country, have the government cancel all federal loan debt and pay off private loans, reducing that $1.4 trillion in debt to zero. Stephanie Kelton is a professor of public policy and economics at Stony Brook University. Stephanie, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Why did you and your colleagues want to tackle this issue of student loan debt?
Well, we actually had somebody approach us and ask us if we would be willing to look at this issue and do an economic analysis. It was a couple who themselves had gone to UC Berkeley, California, back in the day, many, many years ago, when it was basically tuition-free. And they have a daughter, and the daughter has a friend who is struggling with student loan debt. And they got interested in this question, and when they started to dig around, they realized what a substantial problem this is for millions and millions of Americans. And they funded a study and asked us to just take a look and ask the question, what would happen if somehow we were able to just erase it all?
And that somehow is in some ways a key word there. $1.4 plus trillion dollars now, that is a large amount of money. Is that something that you think could realistically happen?
Well, there's nothing to prevent it from happening but the will of policymakers who could take this up and decide to pass legislation to enact something like this. So, you know, everything is politically possible, as they say. I don't know whether it's realistic. You use the word realistic. It's certainly politically possible.
And in talking about this, I've seen at least some of your colleagues compare the amount of money in that in this idea of forgiving all student loan debt to the amounts of money involved in the recent tax overhaul plan.
Yeah, that was sort of inevitable, right? Because our study came out kind of shortly on the heels of the recent tax cuts, and the number that was most widely cited with the Republican tax cuts that passed was $1.5 trillion. This is the estimate that the Congressional Budget Office put on the Republican legislation, saying that would add about $1.5 trillion to deficits over the next 10 years. So a lot of people saw that $1.5 trillion number and the $1.4 trillion number in our study and then did the inevitable, which is to compare the cost, essentially, of the two and then begin asking questions like which one would have actually done more to boost economic growth, job creation, to deliver on the same sorts of promises that the tax legislation is supposed to deliver on.
Well, let's get into that question. In your report, what kind of findings do you have? What kind of impact would total student loan debt forgiveness, you think, have on the economy?
So we ran a number of simulations, and we used a couple of different widely respected macro models just to make sure that the results were robust. You get a range of estimates. But, you know, what you're looking at, I think, is not really terribly surprising if you relieve people who are currently, on average, making payments around $350 a month to service their student loan debt. The question becomes, what if that payment went away and all of these people could then do something else with that money? So what we found is that you get a boost to real economic activity, that is real GDP, or what economists just kind of call the economy, improves. You would add something like $86 to $108 billion a year in real GDP over the 10-year period. So, you know, cumulatively something like $860 to just over $1 trillion in additional real GDP over and above what we would have if we didn't didn't do the debt cancellation. What's interesting is that you're able to do something like this without creating an inflation problem, without causing interest rates to spike. So you get job creation, you get real GDP growth, you get a boost to the private sector. State and local governments enjoy a benefit. Their budget positions improve as a result of this. So there are lots of good things that happen as a result of our model simulations, and nothing bad happens is the kind of simple way to put this.
Stephanie Kelton is with us, professor of public policy and economics at Stony Brook University, talking about a report she co-authored looking at the idea of canceling all student loan debt, forgiving federal loan debt, and having the federal government buy private student loan debt. Stephanie, we heard along the lines of what you were just talking about. Kelsey on Facebook tells us if she didn't have to worry about student debt, she'd be able to save for a house within a year and could buy a new car for her husband. Is that the kind of thing we're thinking about here, especially maybe for younger people with student loan debt, 20s, 30s? We've heard arguments that, hey, because they're paying student loan debt, they're not doing things like Kelsey is talking about, buying that house, buying that car.
Yeah, Kelsey's exactly hit the nail on the head. And in fact, there's lots of research to substantiate the kinds of things that she's dealing with at the micro level for the macro, the economy as a whole. Federal Reserve banks across the U.S. and other researchers, academics have looked at this. And, you know, there's pretty broad agreement that this level of student debt, which, by the way, is now far surpassed the amount of credit card debt that we have in this country. So we're talking about a very, very large amount of debt that has to be serviced by 44 million or so people every single month. And, yeah, the research suggests that this is holding back spending on a variety of other things, everything from, you know, people deciding to start their own business, buy a home, get married, start a family, buy a new car, all of those sorts of things. And so one thing I would add is that our study is we think the findings are quite conservative in the sense that it doesn't take into account all of the secondary and tertiary benefits of the kind that Kelsey's talking about. So, you know, it would be an even bigger boon for the economy if we were able somehow to model all of those extra spending effects that she's talking about.
We also heard from John on Facebook who says students with debt knew what they were getting into and he doesn't expect anyone to pay off his mortgage so he can buy other things. And that's got to be a big issue for people, a fairness issue. There's somebody who says, hey, I went to maybe not my top choice of school. I went to something more affordable. Why, you know, should somebody who made a different decision be rewarded? Or maybe somebody who didn't go to school at all might say, well, I didn't go to school because I couldn't afford it, and now you're telling me you're paying this off for someone else. Is there a basic fairness issue there?
Yeah, you know, I understand that, and of course we've heard that quite a bit after the study was released. Look, I would say to people like him that there is something unfair about what's happened, but I would point out that part of what's unfair is that, you know, my parents were able to go to college at a time when it was basically free to do so, and we're now moving into an era where we're beginning to make public colleges and universities tuition free once again. You're seeing this early on. We began in Tennessee, but now New York and California are moving in this direction, and I think the momentum is there to continue to see states move, you know, to make their public colleges and universities tuition-free, or very nearly so, maybe with an income threshold like they've done in New York. So what's unfair, it seems to me, is that, you know, segment of the population that got trapped by history. They weren't born early enough to benefit from an era in which it was free to go to college, or basically free, and they weren't born late enough to enter into the era where we're going in that direction again. And so, you know, we could get into the granular fights about which college somebody chose or didn't choose, and to be sure, you know, you're not gonna satisfy everyone in terms of, you know, the perception about what's fair. But I would suggest that there's something fundamentally unfair about trapping a generation or more of people in history in this student debt trap.
Would student loan forgiveness in a way be regressive? Wealthier people might have been able to go to that more expensive college. They'll have higher student loan debt that they might be better able to pay off in the long run. This would benefit the top part of the economy potentially more than others.
Yeah, but by saying that the people who are at the top have an easier time paying it off. What this cancellation would actually do is help those who most struggle to pay off their student loan debts. And part of what's unfair, I think, is, you know, the narrative that we have sold. And I'm an academic, so I'm part of the community of people who have sold this narrative to students. Look, you graduate high school, what are you supposed to do? There's sort of a compact in place, at least, you know, rhetorically. You get out of high school, you go to college. You play by all the rules, you work hard, you make your way through college, you pay your way through, it's an investment. We tell people it's an investment in your future. You're supposed to do this. And then they graduate with student loan debt that, you know, for many of them is just too much. They can't survive with the amount of student loan debt. They end up back at home living with mom and dad. And you know, so there's this problem with this idea that the path to a better future, to the middle class, necessarily runs through higher ed. Meanwhile, states have disinvested. We've shifted more and more of the burden of funding what is essentially a public good, and we've forgotten that, and we treat it like a private good. We shift more and more of the burden of paying for college onto the individual as if there aren't broader societal benefits to be had by having people go through college, and then we expect students to somehow graduate into an economy that's been weak, that hasn't delivered on the promise of that good job at the end of the day with a good salary that allows them to work their way out of debt. So there are just all kinds of, I think, problems with, you know, the idea that somehow people didn't do the right thing, and now it would be wrong to try to alleviate the burden.
Talking to Stephanie Kelton, professor of public policy and economics at Stony Brook University. She recently co-authored a study looking at how to address the student loan crisis in the United States, looking at the idea of canceling student loan debt. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this idea of the federal government forgiving federal student loan debt, buying up private student loan debt? If this is you, how is student loan debt affecting your life? Do you think this is a good idea? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about student loan debt with Stephanie Kelton. She's a professor of public policy and economics at Stony Brook University, and she's a co-author of a new study looking at the idea of erasing student loan debt, all of it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of that idea? What questions do you have for our guest? And how has student loan debt affected your life? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. To your calls now, John is with us in Madison. John, hi.
Hi. Hi, guys. I was. My question is, I kind of have a comment. We tend to think of debt as being a generational problem associated mainly with millennials, but I myself know people 40 and over who have plenty of student loan debt, and my question is, what kind of impact will we have on things like retirement and savings in the society in general? Retirement and savings, what kind of broad impact would it have on the society as a whole? And I'll just hang up and listen to the answer.
John, thanks for the call. So Stephanie, for older people who have student loan debt.
Yeah, he's exactly right. There are, you know, if you look at the age demographic, most of the student loan debt is concentrated among younger people, 40 and under, for sure. But there are certainly people, many of them, you know, are carrying their own student loan debt for loans that they took out to go to school themselves. But a number of people have co-signed loans for nieces and nephews, for their kids and so forth. And so some of that is reflected there as well. You've got people on Social Security having their Social Security garnished in order to pay student loan debt. I mean, so John raises an important issue for sure. The question about, you know, what are the implications of canceling student loan debt for people in those age demographics? You know, obviously, if you've got a payment that you sit down and make every single month, you take out your checkbook and you write a check to pay back a portion of your student loan debt, you don't have to do that anymore, then you can take out that checkbook and do something else. Or, as John suggested, you can begin to save a little bit. And so we've got a population today, you know, here in this country, virtually half of the population has no meaningful savings whatsoever. So young people are starting out with so much debt, they're not able to begin to save anything, to set anything aside. So in addition to the boost in spending that we look at in this report, you also get an increase in the ability to save for the future. And so there are benefits that run exactly along the lines he's describing.
Thanks for that call. Go next to Angela with us in Madison. Angela, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
I feel that it should be forgiven, especially for people in my circumstances. I was in college, public college, and I didn't even get to finish my degree. Unfortunately, I got very, very sick and ended up being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So at the end of the month, you have $20,000 monthly going towards your multiple sclerosis medicine that I take, or you have to make your monthly payment to your student loan. Now, I do have insurance, so I do have to pay just the small portion of the medicine, but sitting down with your checkbook, you're like, do I pay my medicine or my student loan this month?
Angela, thanks. I want to bring Stephanie in. Is that something you looked at, student loan debt conflicting with healthcare costs?
Yeah, well, we didn't in this report, but for sure, it's exactly the kind of thing that Angela is describing, that for many, many Americans, it is a choice just that stark. Do I make, you know, what do I do with this limited amount of money that I have at my disposal every month? And so freeing up some additional disposable income for people like Angela would have a very meaningful impact on her life. I know that for sure.
Thanks for that call, Angela. Talking to Stephanie Kelton from Stony Brook University about a report she co-authored on the idea of erasing, canceling student loan debt. Back to your call. Susan is with us in New Berlin. Susan, hi.
Hi. I was wondering if Steffi could explain just when it was that college was basically free. I went in the 70s, and my older brothers and sisters went in the late 60s. And it certainly wasn't free for us. We did get a couple of scholarships, but that was because of hard work in our high school years. And then we all worked our way through college. And my kids now went to school in the 2000s and early 2010s, and they did the same thing. They worked their way all the way through worked all the way through college and had loans and worked their butts off and got those paid off.
Susan, thanks for the call. Stephanie, first of all, you did suggest that college had been basically free in the past. Do you want to put that in a little context for Susan?
Sure. I mean, you know, when I went to college, I went to a large state school, and tuition for me was a little over $400 a semester. So extremely inexpensive. Now, that was in the, you know, early and mid-1990s. But if you look at what's happened to the cost of tuition at public colleges and universities since 1980 to where we are today, costs have increased 350%. Now, wages and salaries have not, by any stretch of the imagination, kept up. So when you look back, you know, 30 years, it was possible for someone to work in the summer in a minimum wage job and make enough money just working a summer job that paid minimum wage to pay for their education. So they could go to school the rest of the year, not have to work, and they'd make enough money. So that's what I mean when I'm talking about, you know, college being so affordable that we have moved so far from anything that resembles that. You could work at a minimum wage job all year today and barely be able to afford the cost of tuition, and then you're trying to work and go to school at the same time.
Thanks for the call, Susan. Time for one more call. Lisa is with us in Madison. Lisa, hi.
Hi. I have to agree a little bit with the last caller. I have two children. They're 23 and 26, and they both have gone to college for 4 years and got their degrees. They both are still paying off student loans. They don't like it. It's not enjoyable, but they both worked all summer long. Every year they went to college, they worked two minimum wage jobs. They also worked all through high school. I've also seen a lot of their friends not have any jobs at all and have a lot of time for fun, and then they cry because they have student loans. I mean, I paid my way through school, too. I know it's not easy, but I do think that some kids need to step up a little bit more and take on more responsibility.
Lisa, thanks for the call. Stephanie, kids need to step up.
Yeah, well, look, as I've mentioned, what we've done in the course of the last three decades especially is to shift so much of the burden of paying for college onto the student as states have disinvested, as tuition costs have escalated and so forth, that, you know, what was once possible for many, many people is just increasingly out of reach. And this isn't to say that there aren't students who did as, you know, as Lisa and Angela described or Susan described, it isn't to say that there aren't students who are able to make it. What this study does is to say, look, there are 44 million people in this country. We've got closing in on $1.5 trillion in outstanding student loan debt. It's a hypothetical. It's not a policy proposal per se. It's a hypothetical. What would happen if it went away? Would there be broad benefits to the economy? So it's not to uniquely benefit people who didn't play by the rules, who weren't able to find a good job. You know, those are the lucky people. They graduated into an economy that wasn't crashing. They didn't graduate in 2008, 2009, 2010, in the depths of the Great Depression, or Great Recession, and as we were coming out of that. These people maybe graduated a little bit later in a stronger job market. They were able to find work that paid a decent salary. They're doing okay. All right, there are those people for sure. But what this study does is say, if we were to cancel all the outstanding loan debt, would it benefit all of us in the sense that we get a stronger, more prosperous economy for all of us to work in, for all of us to invest in, for all of us to prosper in?
And very briefly, Stephanie, are you hoping, whether it's this idea or something else, that there's more, I guess, bold thinking on student loan debt?
Yeah, I am, because, you know, I spent some time in D.C. I know that lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have been concerned about this issue, and there have been bites at the apple taken, a number of different proposals. I think at the moment we're going in a direction that disappoints me, with the Secretary of Education currently looking to make it harder for students to work their way to get loan forgiveness and to, you know, get some help dealing with the student loan debt problem. But I think that, you know, I'm optimistic that at some point we're going to turn attention back to this, and some of these bolder proposers are going to be on the agenda.
Thanks to our guest, Stephanie Kelton, professor of public policy and economics at Stony Brook University, with us to talk about student loan debt in the United States.